Hello, everyone, and thank you for listening to this podcast on Braille advocacy. My name is Lisa Hellman, Youth Services Librarian for Wolfner Talking Book and Braille Library. With me today is Jenny Carmack, one of the coordinators of the NFB of Missouri's Bell Academy, which is a Braille enrichment program. Jenny has a bachelor's in early childhood and elementary education and a master's in special education. It wasn't until 2016 that Jenny began to learn Braille, which was also the first year that she began working with the NFB of Missouri's Bell Academy as a volunteer. 2 years later, Jenny began helping coordinate the Bell Academy. In 2019, she started working part-time for MOSPIN, Missouri Statewide Parent Involvement Network, as a parent advisor. Jenny also does a lot of volunteering within the NFB of Missouri's youth program, including the teen group known as the Cane Drivers, STEM2U, and the student division. Jenny is also the chair and program coordinator for a new program that will be launched in the near future through NFB of Missouri called Mission Beam, or Blindness Empowerment Advocacy and Mentoring. Thank you, Jenny, for joining the podcast today to talk about the importance of Braille literacy. If you wouldn't mind, could you tell us a bit about yourself and how you came to learn Braille?
Sure. Hi, and thank you for having me. So I was born with glaucoma, and I was legally blind from childhood. I had usable vision, so I was able to read print. So I never even heard of Braille until I was a teenager. And I had a little bit of training in Braille at that time, not enough to be efficient or literate or even use it just to identify numbers or particular things. So again, in my early 20s, I was introduced to Braille a little bit because of a friend that I had who was a Braille reader. But I didn't actually learn it at that point either. It wasn't until 2016, at the age of 42, I guess I'll say, when I lost the remaining of my vision. And I wanted to know Braille. I liked reading. I liked being able to do things independently. And so I worked to teach myself Braille. I used my background in education to know different ways that I could teach myself so that it would stick, so that I would learn it and be able to use it. And I spent probably the first 6 months maybe teaching myself most of the Braille code, and then I began working on my speed and accuracy with reading.
So as I mentioned in your bio, it was 2016 when you started also working on or with the Bell Academy. Could you give us a little bit of information about the Bell Academy and even how you came to learn about it and started helping with it?
Yes. The Bell Academy is a program run through the National Federation of the Blind. And so in Missouri, we run our own version of the Bell Academy. Bell stands for Braille Enrichment for Literacy and Learning. I learned about Bell Academy in 2013 when Missouri was going to hold our first Bell Academy. But then we ended up actually holding our first one in 2014. At that time, I was employed full-time as an early childhood teacher. And so I did not work with Bell Academy until 2016, when I was more available to work with them. And the Bell Academy focuses a lot on enhancing and encouraging the use of Braille for blind and visually impaired students. But also we work on a lot of other blindness-related skills, and we try to do that through a lot of fun, interactive activities. We've been on field trips. We have other people come in to present or teach things. We've done some all kinds of things, such as, like, we've had art, and we've had field trips where we've taken public transit. We have had students have to prepare snacks each day. And then we also did, in 2019, we did a play, which they really liked doing the play. So they got lots of practice reading Braille, and then having to use some O&M skills to get around on our makeshift stage that we had to present the play and designing the backgrounds for the play. So I love the Bell Academy because in 2016, after losing my eyesight and being able to volunteer with the Bell Academy, it just brought back my reminders of how much I love teaching and the possibility that I was still going to be able to do that. And I think that year, with every year, I learned as much from the kids as maybe they did from me, or maybe I learned more that year. And it's just really a good time to work with students and have them come together with each other. A lot of students who are blind sometimes are in a school by themselves and never have the opportunity to interact with another blind student. And that's one of the positive things about Bell as well.
So of course, both you and I know that Braille is really important, especially to try and introduce it to our youth at a young age, and you having experience with, you know, learning it later in life, could you go kind of into how Braille has helped you and even what the importance of Braille is for our youth as well?
Looking back, I wish that I would have had the opportunity to learn Braille as a young child. I didn't know this until I was much older, but reading print for me was not very efficient. I was slow at it. I had lots of eye pain. I had headaches a lot. I had back pain from sometimes leaning over the table to get close enough to whatever printed material I was working on. It would have been great if I had Braille that I could have used maybe in addition to print to make things easier for me to keep up. I would have struggled to keep up with my peers a lot. So I think that learning Braille, even for students who have some usable sight who can read print, is very important. Even as when I got older, and I taught myself Braille. Currently, I use Braille every day. I have Braille markings on my microwave. I have Braille markings on my treadmill. If I get a phone call and they want me to take down a number, I usually just write it in Braille real quick because it's easier to get to that than to turn on my laptop and open up a Word document and do all that. And I don't want to leave the person on hold very often. So Braille has many uses in my life, even though I'm older, but as a young child to learn Braille would be the equivalent of learning print for a sighted child. And upon working in the Bell Academy, I was working with another volunteer who said that she didn't learn Braille as a young child, but she was taught everything mostly in audio format. She was not able to read print, and there were words that she didn't know how to spell because they don't, in our English language, our words do not sound how they get spelled oftentimes. Also, for editing, to learn how to use punctuation, to learn how to indent paragraphs, those things are not told to you through audio, but you can identify them with Braille since it is the blind person's equivalent to print. So I do believe that Braille literacy is very important and young children learn it much quicker than older people, as I can much attest to. My Braille reading speeds will probably never be as quick as some of these students have been learning it since they were very small. So I feel like even, you know, children who have some usable vision, Braille can be very beneficial to them to learn along with print, or even if they just only need Braille, because it will sink in, they will use it better. It will become like a second nature. And why not give every kid every tool in their toolbox that they can have available so they can be successful?
Now, regarding the Bell Academy, of course, with things that have happened in 2020 with the pandemic versus pre-pandemic, could you go over how the Bell Academy has adapted to the pandemic, and hopefully where it will be going post-pandemic?
The Bell Academy was for 2014 through 2019 an in-person program that was held here in Missouri, as well as some other states through their NFB affiliates would hold Bell Academy. So here in Missouri, we would have one or two, depending on our student interest, in different parts of the states, where students would come together for 2 weeks during the day to do all of the activities kind of that I talked about earlier. In 2020, when the pandemic hit, we didn't want to skip a year of Bell. We have good momentum going. We have lots of students interested. So the NFB's national office thought that we could hold a virtual Bell. And they and a few other leaders around the country put together, and very quickly and very efficiently, a Bell Academy in-home edition. And so what that looked like is there were three sessions that families could pick from, one in June, one in July, and one in August. They could pick the one that worked best for them. And they would participate in the Bell Academy for 2 weeks. And there were daily lesson plans that were given on YouTube. There were links provided to them. There were daily Zoom calls that would enhance those lessons with a Bell Academy teacher. And then there were also Zoom calls for socializing time, because the great thing about doing it virtually was we were able to open it up to all of the states across the country. So students got to meet other students that they normally wouldn't have a chance to interact with. Also, families were sent all of the materials that they needed for all of the Bell Academy lessons. So families didn't have to make sure that they went and purchased even a paper plate, even just everything was provided for them. And so again, this year in 2021, we have decided that it would be better to do a virtual Bell Academy again. I know some camps and some activities are in person. We just felt that we'd have more participation if we did another virtual. And so it will be identical to last year. The addition will be that within each of the three sessions, students will be divided up into Braille reading ability. So beginning, intermediate, or advanced readers. And that way we are going to be able to present activities that will be more on their skill level. And so we won't have somebody that's a beginner that doesn't, you know the activity, or somebody that's more advanced that feels bored. So that is for this year. And hopefully by next year, post-pandemic, that we will go back to meeting in person, because even though these virtual Bell Academies have been great, and they have provided a lot of new things that we didn't have the opportunity for before, nothing replaces the in-person. And we feel, all of us that work on the Bell Academy team, feel like that in-person learning is, there's so much more of it that happens. The kids learn from each other. And we can bring in other people in our local communities. So we are looking for that to take place in person again in 2022, provided that things keep going in the positive direction that they are.
I think we all are hoping that we can be able to meet and see each other again. I know I've had the opportunity to work with the Bell Academy before, and it's definitely an amazing opportunity for our kids to get to see each other, talk to each other, interact with each other, and learn together. So I greatly appreciate it. So Jenny, you're also working on a lot of other programs, obviously. So could you go into some of the other things that you're working on as well?
Well, some of our age ranges kind of overlap. So the Bell Academy usually is a summertime activity, and it's for students who are ages 4 through 12 years old. The STEM to You program, which we did the first time last year in 2020, is a weekend program offered in the fall, and it is for students who are ages 13 through the end of high school, 18, 19, and students in that get to work on things related to the STEM field. And then we have our Cane Drivers, which began in, 2019, in late 2019. Our Cane Drivers is a teen group, and they meet regularly. They are for the 13 through 19 age group, so mostly middle school and high school age. They do things like work on leadership, on peer collaboration to create their activities. They have had trivia. They created trivia nights for our recent state convention. They've worked on cooking skills. They have worked on shopping. They do a wide variety of things, mostly with daily living type skills and self-advocacy and leadership. And so that group is led by these students. So we have a chair and a co-chair who are members of the Cane Drivers, and they plan and prepare and implement all of the activities. And the adults, such as myself and a few others, are more like mentors or guides for them in that group. And then we have our Missouri Association of Blind Students, or known as also as a student division. And that is for our high school to college age students. And that kind of helps in the transition from high school into college. They talk about many college related things like doing applications and scholarships. And both the Cane Driver group and the student division, they meet on a monthly basis. So they're active pretty much all year round in doing a variety of activities and having speakers and such. Oh, and I guess I should mention the Mission Beam that will be launching. It is not yet launched, but it is a new program in Missouri, and it will be for high school students that would be transitioning into college or employment. And hopefully everyone will hear more about that in the near future.
Jenny, is there anything else you would like to bring up during this podcast at this time?
I'm glad to have had the opportunity to be able to talk about Braille and the importance of students learning it as young as they can, and the benefits of it, and to share about the Bell Academy.
Thank you so much, Jenny. Also, thank you to all of our listeners. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you are interested in Wolfner Library providing other podcasts like this, you can contact us at wolfner@sos.mo.gov or call us at 573-751-8720. Now, Jenny, if any of our listeners are interested in learning more about Braille literacy, where would you recommend they go?
If anybody would like to learn more about Braille literacy or the Bell Academy, there's always information or links to information on our NFB of Missouri webpage, which is www.nfbmo.org.
Thank you again to Jenny and to our listeners. Have a great day or night.